Let's all say amen. 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 One thing, the Lord's choir, for God's will done. Amen. Today I need you to pray with me and pray for me. I need to hear you saying amen. But as we all stand out of respect for the word of God, I want you to call your attention today to a very familiar passage of scripture found in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40. And we want to focus our attention upon verses 46 through verse 31. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 26 through verse 31. Amen. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 26 through 31. When you find it, say amen.
Amen.
And read this way. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one favorite. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Today, with your prayers and with the help of God, I want to talk for a few minutes today from the subject, finding encouragement when you're down and out.
Amen.
Amen. Finding encouragement when you are down and out. The truth is, my brothers and my sisters, everyone has downtime. Everyone has times of discouragement. And there can be all sorts of causes for this discouragement. Discouragement can be a very serious and debilitating situation.
Yeah.
It can be like that for any number of reasons. At times, discouragement comes because of illness. It can be our own or that of someone that we love. It can result from shattered dreams or personal failure. Discouragement comes as a result of guilt. It can also come as a result of bereavement. It can come as a result of financial crisis. Discouragement can be work-related, or it can be due to a problem in one's marriage, or because even of your children. The possible causes of discouragement are endless, but no one is immune, and sometimes discouragement leads to downright depression. So nobody is exempt. Amen. The criteria of whether or not a person has discouragement is not whether or not they've been in church for years or whether they've even not been in church. Every human person goes through times of discouragement in their life. If I'm right, y'all say amen.
Amen.
Indeed, I want to say that someone may be going through a period of despondency, a period of discouragement, or even a period of depression even right now. There may be someone who feels that life has came in on you. But I come today to say, thank God, no one needs to stay down and out. You may find yourself in a period of discouragement right now, but you don't have to stay discouraged. All right, y'all say amen.
Amen.
Amen. The remedy for discouragement can be found in many places in the Bible, but none more clearly, I believe, than our text today, Isaiah chapter 40, verses 26 through verse 31. Now, many interpreters believe that Isaiah wrote these words prophetically regarding a future time when the Jews would be living in Babylon. He was warning them of the despair and sadness they would experience, but he also told them how they could get back, how they could get back up again, how they could find encouragement in the midst of that down time. And because the people had sinned against God, it happened just as Isaiah had predicted. In 586 BC, the Babylonians, after a long siege, invaded the southern kingdom of Judah. They practically destroyed the city of Jerusalem, desecrated the temple, and took large numbers of the Jews as captive Babylon. So that's where we find them in our text on today. We find them exiled from their beloved nation. They've lost their freedom. They've lost their home. Some have even lost their family. Amen. Perhaps saddest of all, they have lost their hope. And here they are in a hostile environment surrounded by strange customs and by people who have no respect for their traditions. They feel isolated and they find themselves abandoned. At that point, the words of the text ring loud and clear. For Isaiah, the writer, says in the first part of verse 26, he says, "Lift up your eyes on high." And I want to say, when you and I find ourselves in the midst of down times, that's where the road of recovery starts, by looking up. Can I get a witness? Someone has rightly said, "Look around and you'll be distressed. Look inward and you'll be depressed, but look up and you'll be blessed." Isaiah goes on then to call their attention to three great truths about God. Truths which, if taken to heart, will replace the discouragement with hope. And these three truths will do the same for you and for me in the midst of our down times. If we will focus on them, amen, it makes a difference, and we'll find ourselves being encouraged. First, the writer reminds us that God is aware of all of our situations. Amen. That first thing we got to remember is that God is aware. Amen. Verse 26 continues and says, "Behold, who has created these things that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by name, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth." Amen. Now, when he talks about who hath created these things and bringeth out their host by number, he's obviously referring to the stars. Now, when you read this verse from the New International Version, it translates it the starry host. Now, astronomers estimate that the universe contains more than 100 billion galaxies. They tell us that that what we call the Milky Way is actually home to around 300 billion stars, but there are billions of other galaxies, some much smaller, but some of them even larger, as much as 20 times more massive, containing multiplied billions of stars. And when we start talking about numbers like that, that's beyond what my comprehension is. These are numbers that boggle my mind. But by using their superpower telescopes to study galaxies, scientists estimate that there are roughly 70 billion trillion stars in the universe. And yet, God, amen, not only created them, but he named them and controls and cares for each one of them. Psalm 147, verse 4 says, "He telleth the number of the stars, he calls them all by their names. Not a single one of them gets lost, and not a single one of them disintegrates or falls without his permission." I don't know how you feel about it, but that's amazing. Can I get away? And so if God is so mindful of every single star and knows each one of the stars by name, he most certainly is keenly aware of every human being. Can I get a witness? Psalm 8, verse 5 says, For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thus Isaiah says in verse 26, why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Now, what Isaiah was saying was, how in the world could anyone imagine that he or she is not, that God is not mindful of you? Amen. If God tracks and cares for each star,
yeah,
he most certainly is aware of you, and he certainly is aware of me, and he's certainly going to care for us. Can I get a witness?
Yeah.
So what I'm saying to somebody today, don't let Satan do a number on you. Don't ever think that you're an insignificant speck in an impersonal universe. And don't ever think that you're no longer on God's radar. Amen. There's never one second when God is not aware of you. He knows your name, he knows your whereabouts, and he knows your circumstances. Can I get a witness? God is aware of everything you and I ever experience and go through in life. In fact, he's looking at you right now, and he's looking at you with compassion. He understands what you're going through. Can I get a witness? He knows of your heartache. He knows of your pain. He knows of your disappointments. He knows of your weariness. He is fully aware of every need, and guess what? God cares. Can I get a witness?
Yeah.
And furthermore, he stands ready to meet all of our needs.
Yeah.
And so the psalmist, the writer of this passage, Isaiah, speaks of God's awareness. But not only that, but he reminds, amen, the people of God's power. God's power. Now, verse 28 says, have thou not known? Have thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weak? Now, while some human power sources play out, God's power is inexhaustible. Can I get a witness? Isaiah was saying to those exiled in Babylon, when God's time comes to deliver you and return you to your homeland, he will show himself mighty and do whatever is necessary to fulfill his promise of restoration. In like manner, he has the power to set you and me free, amen, from whatever slaves us. And all of us in our natural condition are in bondage to sin and bound for eternal hell. But Jesus shed his blood on the cross of Calvary.
Yeah.
In order that we through repentance and faith might receive the gift of eternal life. Can I get a witness? And no longer be condemned or enslaved. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 tells us, for God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Yeah.
Jesus said in John 8:36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. And when they buried him, they put him in a borrowed tomb. And he was in that tomb 3 days and 3 nights. But early Sunday morning, he rose from the grave and said, what? All power is in my hand. So that means he had the power then to save us. Can I get a witness? And when he saves us, we have a relationship now with God.
Yeah.
Now, though we have a relationship with God, though the Lord saved us, that doesn't stop Satan from coming at us. Can I get a witness? He doesn't leave us alone just because we're saved. Although he can no longer have any control over our eternal destiny, he tries to lure us off the track of God's will, so as to rob us of our joy and our effectiveness. So he constantly hurls his fiery darts to try to trip us up. But 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation.
Yeah.
But then not only that, he also knows how to deliver us from unholy attitudes, such as bitterness, lust, and jealousy, and from things that dishonor God. Can I get a witness?
All right.
But then I want you to know the last part of verse 28 of Isaiah chapter 40 says, there's no searching of his understanding. Amen. We need to know today that God is all wise.
Yeah.
Am I right? Y'all say amen.
Yeah.
He's all wise and he knows exactly how and when to use his power. Psalm 147, verse 5 says, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Now, I love verse 29. Verse 29 says, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength.
Yeah.
So the question is, how far down can a person get and yet still be within the reach of God's help? And the answer is, a person can go all the way down. Can I get away with this? Amen. All the way down. Because the text says, to them that have no mind, guess what? He increases strength. Somebody here today may feel absolutely wiped out. You may feel beyond help. But I come today to tell you that's not so. Can I get a witness? However far down you may be, you can by God's grace get up again. Amen. Jeremiah 32 verse 17 said, oh Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there's nothing too hard for thee. Can I get a witness? I don't know how you feel about it, but that's good to know that there's nothing too hard for God. And I want to say some people, they're down in the dumps today. They're full of discouragement to the point of depression because something is going on in their life. But I come to today to say, you can't fix it. You can't handle it. But there's nothing too hard for God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can I get a witness?
Yeah.
Ain't there nothing too hard for God. Verse 30 said, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. No one, regardless of age or vitality or determination, is immune to the down times or to stumbling blocks. But praise God, no one needs to stay down. Because Isaiah goes on to remind the exiles in Babylon, and he goes on to remind you and I about God's provision.
Yeah.
Oh, my brothers and my sisters, God is able to provide. Can I get a witness?
Yeah.
Right. Amen. Notice, amen, the text says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Now let me say this. To wait on the Lord is the key to God's power being unleashed in your life. And waiting on God does not mean to shift into neutral and just hang around idly until he asks on our behalf. That's not faith. Can I get a witness? That's presumption. But when you look at the various uses of that expression in the Bible, you see that waiting on God has three components. First of all, waiting on God means looking to him in faith for the ultimate victory in the battles of life. Secondly, waiting on God means being patient as we look to him to bring about that victory in his own time and in his own way. Third, waiting on God means that we are patiently looking to him. We are to be active and aggressive, doing everything we can under his leadership to address situations in which we are asking his intervention.
Amen.
My brothers and my sisters, as we thus cooperate with God, trusting him for the final outcome, we have his assurance that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That Hebrew word for renew literally means to exchange. Amen. As we wait on the Lord, we exchange our They shall walk and not faint. Those expressions mean that God will supply exactly the strength that we need for whatever the situation at hand requires. You know, so many times we understand and we know that the Bible says that we all wait on God.
Yeah.
And we know that's what we ought to do, but so many times we grow impatient, amen, and we're not willing, amen, to wait on the Lord.
Yeah.
But I tell you, if you can only wait on him, amen, he'll give you everything you need to sustain your everyday walk of life.
Yeah.
I read a story of a grandfather one day was taking a nature hike with his six-year-old son, and the child was running ahead of him and came to a creek, and that little boy ran ahead and afraid, brother, that the little boy in his enthusiasm might get careless and fall into the creek. The grandfather called out and said, wait for me, and I'll get you across. Well, fortunately, the little boy obeyed, and when the grandfather got there, grandfather lifted the boy on his shoulders and waded safely across the creek. And when they reached the other side, the little boy said to his grandfather and said, if I had not waited on you, I would never have made it across. And I come to close the day, my brother and my sister, that there are times in our lives when even though we sought to follow the right path, that there are times that we come to uncrossable barriers. But if we only but wait on the Lord and put our trust in him, he will carry us across all right. And I get a witness. And when we've done all we can trust him to do the thing that we can. He said, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And I come to close the thing. I understand that that's the problem with some of us today. We simply need to renew our strength. Sometimes we walk around with our head hanging down, but what we need to do is renew our strength. Some people go around mad and angry with the whole world, but what they is renew their strength. Some people have so much depression in their lives, but what they need to do is renew their strength. They wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You come up out of the valley of your discouragement. Can I get away there? Yes, you will. They'll mount up on wings like eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Is there anybody here that want that kind of renewal in your life? Anybody here today need that kind of encouragement in your life? I come today to tell you, God is able to lift us from the guttermost to the uttermost. He's able to bring you out of that valley of depression and discouragement that you live in right now. You gotta do is put your faith and your trust in God. Are you trusting him every day of your life? Are you willing to wait on him? Are you willing to hold on to God's unchanging hand? If you will hold on a little while longer, God will make everything all right. Won't he do it? I said, won't he do it? Anybody here today know God will? Isn't he able? Won't he bring you out all right? Ain't he all right? I said, ain't he all right? If you know he will, let me hear you realize.
Lord, heal him. Let me hear you say, yeah. He will bring you out all right. You can find encouragement in the down. Listen, sometimes people think that because I've been in church for so long that you can't get discouraged. No, yes, you can. See, and the reason why you're going to have some discouragement because sin is going to see to that. The devil's going to see to it that we have some level of discouragement in life. And that's the reason why we have to constantly feed ourselves with the word of God. We've got to feed the spiritual man. Now we're good at feeding the carnal man. Amen. When I leave here, I'm going to eat. Can I get with you? But we're not good sometimes on feeding the spiritual man. See, and when we don't have the spiritual nutrition that we need, you will find yourself in the valley of discouragement. Satan, keep on coming. Keep on coming. That's the reason why church, I heard you, because that's why you need to be in Bible. Y'all hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Some people don't ever come. Don't even think about it. Don't even want to come about it. You need to come to Sunday school. Some people don't care nothing about no Sunday school. You need to be at church on Sunday. Some people have a hard time coming to church on Sunday. But you got to feed your spiritual man. And even though you feed him, Satan's coming even more. But I promise you, the more you feed the spiritual man, the more you realize they didn't wait on the Lord. Tell them to do that thing. Can I get away with it?
Yeah.
Well, let's wait. Amen. Go to the church, open it. Maybe someone here today. Man, woman, or girl, you hear that Christ in your life. I declare that Jesus will save your soul. He will make you whole right now. It's better than ever yesterday. Tomorrow is not promised. The only time you have is right now. Is that one of the things? When I say I want Christ, I need Jesus as my Savior. Because if you die without Christ, hell will be your home. Is that one of the things? Go to the church door for the reception of members.
Yeah.
Invite you to come.
I stray away from you, Lord. I stray away so long. Prince has turned their backs on me. Now I'm standing here so all alone. So you told me to come home.
battle. Oh, oh, oh.